Arba nichnesu lepardes. Four wise men entered the orchard of secret knowledge. The son of Azai looked at the orchard and lost his life. The son of Zoma looked at the orchard and lost his reason. Elisha, Abuya's son, looked at the orchard and lost his faith. Only Rabbi Akiba entered in peace and left in peace. The Talmud, Kajiga Treatise. Why, young friend, do you say that happiness doesn't exist, that love is only an illusion? If true, why say it? And why say it, since it is true? Long ago, you loved a gracious and beautiful woman who lived on the other side of the oceans and mountains, and you suffered from it. Well, in that distant Orient where she hoped to share memorable moments with you, she remains gracious and beautiful. Head lowered and smiling, she is waiting for you. And every time my eyes meet hers, I know that love causes madness and happiness. One-eyed Paritus, in his message to a student who is frightened of becoming old. Chapter 1. She has dark eyes and the smile of a frightened child. I searched for her all my life. Was it she who saved me from the silent death that characterizes resignation to solitude, and from madness in its terminal phase, terminal as we refer to cancer when incurable? Yes, the kind of madness in which one can find refuge, if not salvation. Madness is what I'll talk to you about. Madness burdened with memories and with eyes like everyone else's, though in my story the eyes are like those of a smiling child, trembling with fear. You'll ask, is a madman who knows he's mad really mad? Or, in a mad world, isn't the madman who is aware of his madness the only sane person? But let's not rush ahead. If you had to describe a madman, how would you portray him? As a marble-faced stranger, smiling but without joy, his nerves on edge, when he goes into a trance, his limbs move about and all his thoughts collide. Time and again he has electrical discharges, not in his brain, but in his soul. Do you like this portrait? Let's continue. How can we talk about madness except by using the specific language of those who carry it within themselves? What if I told you that within each of us, whether in good health or bad, there is a hidden zone, a secret region that opens out onto madness? One misstep, one unfortunate blow of fate, is enough to make us slip or flounder with no hope of ever rising up again. Careless mistakes, an impaired memory, or errors of judgment can provoke a series of falls. It then becomes impossible to make ourselves understood by those we call, rather foolishly, kindred souls. If you will not grant me this, I will have a serious problem. But you must not feel sorry for me. Tears sometimes leave furrows, but never very deep ones. In any case, not deep enough. There. This is what you have to know for a start. That said, since I'm eager to tell you everything, you should know that I'll be telling you this story without any concern for chronology. You'll be made to discover many different periods of time and many different places in a haphazard fashion. What can I say? The madman's time is not always the same as the so-called normal man's. For instance, let's begin this narrative 5 years ago in the office of Therese Goldschmidt, a healer of souls, well paid. I'll tell you how well later, thanks to her vast knowledge. She expects to prod me into knowing the dark, innermost recesses of my ego in order to help me live with myself without my dibbuk, but that's an assumption to which I plan to return. Later on, I'll talk to you about Therese. I'll talk about her at length. Inevitable Therese, there is no way around her. She's the one who made me talk. It's her profession. She spends her life probing the unconscious, that strong box and trash bin of knowledge and experience, those subterranean archives that can and must be deciphered, and asking childish or harebrained questions. And in my case, these questions summoned not answers, but stories.